God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home, is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The Biden White House, the people who run Joe Biden, want you to know that they are very, 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 very sad about their decision to allow Jose Ibarra of Venezuela to escape into our country because the detention facilities were full. They're full because the people who run Joe Biden are rigging an election. They're rigging all the elections to come by welcoming in 9 million people and secreting them around the country and installing them to live in specific congressional districts. They are rigging the Electoral College. They're rigging the census count. They're rigging federal dollars. They're rigging the attitudinal makeup of the country. They're destroying it for political gain, and probably because many of them are paid off to do this. But they're very, very sad, super sad, so sad about what happens to Lakin Riley, who is a nursing student who's now dead. And one would hope that she's with the Lord. They're so serious about it that they put out a strongly worded statement to tell you that someone needs to pay.
You've heard so much about the reporting the last 24 hours that this was an individual that illegally came to the U.S. Through Texas and was released. Is that, are students there aware of that? Are they talking at all about the fact that
yes,
he might not have been there had it been a different immigration situation?
Yes, and we're very, very upset that this could have been easily preventable, not only on campus with safety measures, but nationally. This could have been preventable. And the fact that people like Lakin, nursing students who are going to go out and save lives, had to have their lives taken from them, that is just so sad that we had to prove that this is a national safety issue through people like her.
Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't the White House. That was Mary Dodge. She's a student at UGA. She spoke on the situation. No, the White House issued a statement, and it says in part that, well, they're super sad. Well, they're not. Maybe some are. The disgraced and hopefully one day convicted in the Senate, impeached head of the Department of Homeland Security, who does nothing like be the head of the Department of Homeland Security, hopefully he'll be made to answer for this, Alejandro Mayorkas. But you'll notice something. Nothing's been scheduled in the Senate. Nothing will be scheduled in the Senate. Well, not until there's significant pressure of the electoral sort or the monetary sort. Mitch McConnell doesn't want this discussed. He doesn't want to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. Sadly, Mitch McConnell's in a state of cognitive decline, like figurehead Biden. It's a depressing reality, and it is a continuation of what I think God is doing. He's saying, I'll leave you in the hands of an elderly, corrupt, decrepit, mentally unfit man who's not really running your country, and you can continue to seek solace in that. Maybe you'll find some, but you won't find lasting peace. You can't. Lasting peace is in God. If we return to what leaders of countries are supposed to be, just simply taking an example from what the church and what the Lord Jesus through the apostles spoke about what the elders of churches are to be, we'd have trouble electing either man. Now, I will vote for President Trump in a heartbeat. I'm not excited by it. I'm not excited because he still contends that the COVID response was life-saving. I'm excited on some other things. I think he means it when he talks about actually securing the border. But I know that the party, that is Mitch McConnell's party, is deeply wedded to not having it secured. God is truth. He's light. He's all these things. You know what else he is? He's knowledge. The knowledge that we have, of course, comes from God. And when it doesn't come from God, it comes because of God. Then it's stored in devices created by God, our brains. So I've been watching what's going on with Google Gemini, the artificial intelligence that's been created by Google, which is a super fancy, very, very advanced search engine that operates in NLP, natural language processing. You ask it questions, it spits back an answer. You're familiar, of course, with the fact that people asked Google Gemini to create pictures of our founding fathers, and all the founding fathers were black. George Washington was black. Mother Teresa was black. Because obviously the people who run Gemini are racists, and they think it's racism to have any white people mentioned or shown in these images as ever having done anything that matters. They've pulled the image creation because it was too easy for people to show how broken this intelligence is. And it's not an intelligence. It's a fancy, highly sophisticated search engine. But man, people are having fun with this. There are people now asking Gemini some pretty specific questions. Texas Lindsay, someone I follow on Twitter, is always great at this stuff. She asked Google Gemini, who's done more harm, libertarians or Stalin? Here's what Google Gemini said. Libertarians and Stalinism are two very different political ideologies. Libertarians believe in individual liberty and limited government, while Stalinism is a totalitarian form of communism that emphasizes the power of the state. It's difficult to say definitively which ideology has done more harm, as both have had negative consequences. Stalinism, beginning with the purges in Russia, the predecessor to Stalinism being Leninism, it was responsible for some, 9 billion deaths across the globe if you extend it into Maoism, which is, of course, Stalinism done differently. If you extend that ism into Nazism, and please don't say, oh, those are different things. It's not. Nazism was socialism. This is programmed into their thinking. And this is one of the devices that the World Economic Forum wants to use to police our elections. Did you know that? Not Gemini, but Google. Klaus Schwab, speaking to one of the Google founders, said, why even have elections when the search engines can tell us who will win? The search engines can tell us who will win. In other words, instruct us as who will win. Fact of the matter is, Google, of course, is election meddling in their search results. They have done this every year. This year, it's particularly pronounced. The people at Newsbusters, their foundation, looked into this. 63% of the search returns for President Trump are negative. 20% for Biden are negative. And then you have the New York Times. They've been meddling in elections for years. Well, decades, really. But they've come out with a report recently that disclosed, this is the New York Times, that the CIA had built 12 secret spy bases in Ukraine, and they've been waging a war against Russia for a decade, an information war, a shadow war. Do you think that Putin knew this? I'm not here to defend Putin. He's a murderer and a thug and a kleptocrat. He's a billionaire by way of theft. I'm not here to defend him, but I can say exactly the same thing about Zelensky. Exactly. There is no daylight. Well, Zelensky bends over and does the bidding of the sexual left. That's different. Putin doesn't. That's a difference. There's Christianity practice in Russia of a sort. Zelensky is banning some of the churches. He's banned political parties opposed to him. He's seized the media. But I don't know Russia well enough to know that maybe Putin doesn't control all that as well. This New York Times article says, after a U.S.-supported violent coup toppled Ukraine's democratically elected government, CIA Director John Brennan visited Kiev in April of 2014. Shortly after, the Ukrainian government launched an anti-terror operation against its Russian-speaking citizens in eastern Ukraine. And for 8 years leading up to Russia's invasion in 2022, Ukraine's government, with help from the CIA, relentlessly bombed eastern Ukraine. Millions of innocent civilian lives were caught in the crossfire of a geopolitical chess match between Russia and the United States. That part of this story is so consistently ignored. And when we get to, at the end of the show, we'll do the Tower Babbling. You're going to hear that CNN has taken on the exact same Ukraine talking points as Mitch McConnell and Victoria Nuland. It's the second time this week we played Victoria Nuland, because it's so remarkable to hear CNN speaking the same language, the same bullet points as Victoria Nuland, one of the organizers of those coups. There's another question a gentleman asked Google Gemini, the so-called AI, the artificial intelligence. He asked the artificial intelligence, the search engine, he asked them, Gemini, if conspiracy theories were true, what would our country be like? And they said, well, you wouldn't be able to trust any of the authorities. You wouldn't be able to trust anybody. Everything would be fixed and rigged. Really? Well, the Democrat-controlled partisan Manhattan Supreme Court Judge Arthur Engoron, he's embarrassed just about every judge, attorney, and law professor in America.
It has 118 rooms, half of them bedrooms, 33 bathrooms, a theater, and just in case, three bomb shelters. During the 70s, the federal government held it as a presidential retreat, but gave it back because it couldn't afford the $1 million a year upkeep. Well, the house is Mar-a-Lago. Now, if the government couldn't afford it, you might wonder who could. Meet Donald Trump.
So it's an older, as you can tell from the sound quality, news clip talking about Mar-a-Lago, which Judge Engoron pretends is worth $18 million. A cash flow property like that, with that many bedrooms, with people paying money to attend there, is worth far more than that. Goldman Sachs knew that. So when the gentleman asked Google Gemini, if all the conspiracy theories were true, what would life be like? He said, you wouldn't be able to trust any government official. That's what the so-called artificial intelligence said. Well, look at that. We can't trust many of the government officials. President Trump is taking a great deal of heat for something he said about black voters. We'll get to that probably in the last segment. I wanted to wrap up what I started to talk about in relation to this artificial intelligence, and as made clear by these news stories, Google, of course, is skewing everything. They called it artificial intelligence, but you know what it reminds me of? And I know we use this metaphor at the closing end of the show, where we do the Tower Babbling. This device is babbling. This is an attempt at intelligence, and it's fascinating in that it stands against God in every significant way. I asked it about abortion, this so-called artificial intelligence, and I asked if babies survive abortions. It said that abortion is a complex topic. It's important to understand the nuances. Abortion ends a pregnancy, so the fetus or embryo may not survive. Further on down, Google's Gemini said, baby is a phrase usually reserved for infants that are self-surviving. It's not exactly the way they put it, but that's what they said. That's not what God says. We begin the show by saying, let there be light. That's what God said when he began the world. As I've said before, because it fascinates me and it's inspiring to me, when in a human body, sperm meets an egg and they join, if you're observing that with the right type of microscope, you see a burst of light. Let there be light. So this intelligence, this so-called artificial intelligence, it is, in my mind, absolutely the modern-day equivalent of the Tower Babbling. We come back. I got to give you a spoiler alert. We've been watching The Chosen in theaters, and I have a worry. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. That's me. I'm Todd Herman, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be a disciple too. If you haven't made the decision to welcome Jesus into your heart, you can do that. Simply pray, ask him to reveal himself, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and then act that way. We signify that through being baptized, which is our way of going through a facsimile of dying to ourselves and being raised as new beings. And if you are wondering about that, find a good church in your area that's well attended and that's biblically sound. And if you're new to Christianity, that means that they believe the Bible says what it says. It's a plain and clear reading of the Bible. It's not something where they find new things. There's not new things to find in the Bible. There's new insights for you. Nearly every time I read the Bible and truly read it, that is with my heart open, prayerfully, asking God to reveal things to me, just about every time I do that, I find something else for myself in it. It's a living document in that way, but God's word is immutable. It's unchangeable. It cannot change, and it never has. So if you're seeking a church, seek one that does not have pride flags. God abhors pride. He's also very, very clear about what marriage is. It's one man and one woman. He's clear about that. He's clear about what it is to be a married man, what your expectations are. And if it's helpful, simply consult the Ten Commandments, which are pretty easy to understand. If you've got a church that's demanding reparations, they could make a religious case for that, maybe, but they can't get around the fact that it's stealing. To take money from people who never held slaves, to give it to people who never were slaves, is simply fancy stealing. So I hope that you'll consult the Bible. Talk to friends who are more mature Christians about a church they attend. So this redemption that we Christians have, it's available for you. There's a Christian show, The Chosen, which is consistently controversy among people. And my wife and I love it. We've been watching it online for many years. It's, I think, in its fourth season. And it tells the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples became the apostles. It tells the tale of some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were the religious bureaucrats of the time. You think of them as, that's what they were, bureaucrats, religious bureaucrats. Some of them, I'm sure, very, very good people, but they became lost. They started to replace their desire for control. They started to allow that to replace the word and the intent of God. So one of the things the Lord Jesus accomplished when he came back is he set that straight. These are the things I expect. So I began watching it absent my wife. She wasn't interested in it until one day she saw that I was weeping. I was watching the Lord Jesus depicted on the screen turning the water into wine. I knew the story. I knew the facts behind it. I know Jesus did that. Watching it depicted in the way that The Chosen depicted it was absolutely inspiring and in a way soul-crushing, but in a good way. It had to do with why the Lord Jesus did it at that moment, because his time had not come. You could read it in the Bible. He effectively did it because his mom asked him to, because he loved his earthly mother. And so he did that, a dutiful son. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. We've been watching The Chosen in theaters. There is a spoiler alert coming. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen the episodes 1, 2, and 3 just yet, I'm going to talk about something that happens. Not yet, but I'll warn you when I'm going to do it. You know the story, you know the facts if you've read the Bible. I'm not going to be able to surprise you there. There's another reason that I so adore The Chosen, and that is because it is not afraid to show the Lord Jesus as multifaceted. The Lord Jesus capable of the most perfect compassion, the most perfect love, the only perfect love, the only perfect person, but also, the Lord Jesus was not afraid to cause controversy. In his hometown, he was brought forward with a great honor. Now, this is before anyone recognized who he was. This is before he'd become an inspiration to many. Some knew he was the Messiah. Some sensed it. To others, he became infamous. He was a young man, and he was called before his synagogue to read from the scrolls because people heard he was a great teacher and that he'd even done wonders and works. The Lord knew what was going to happen.
The fulfillment of this scripture, as you have heard it, is today. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is a year of jubilee, a year the poor, brokenhearted, the captive, and the blind are offered redemption. Here, now. The day of vengeance is in the future. I'm not here for vengeance. I'm here for salvation.
In the scene that...
You're here for salvation. What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying. And this year of Jubilee, this year of the Lord's favor, is not about release from financial debts. I'm here to provide release from spiritual debt.
We're the chosen seed of Abraham. We don't have spiritual debt.
You may be the chosen seed of Abraham. You may be the people of the covenants. But that will not bring you my salvation. If you cannot accept that you are spiritually poor and captive in the same way that a Gentile woman and a Syrian leper recognize their need, if you do not realize that you need a year of the Lord's favor, then I cannot save you.
Are you claiming to be the Messiah? Or are you merely claiming to speak for the Lord as a prophet?
Yes.
You are a false prophet! Jesus, if you do not renounce your words, we will have no choice but to follow the law of Moses.
I am the law of Moses.
I love the depiction of this. I love the Lord Jesus standing firm, knowing what's going to happen, knowing it's going to cause his family problems, knowing that it's going to lead to separation between he and people he's loved his whole life. There's a spoiler coming about episodes 1, 2, and 3 of this new season that we saw in the theaters. Not yet. I just want you to know why I love this program so much. I'm familiar with the controversies. I get emails. You know that this show is very, very friendly to Catholics. You know this show hates Catholics. You know this show is way too evangelical. You know this show is anti-evangelical. You know this show is really cloaking a cloaked approach to the Latter-day Saints version of Christianity. You know that this show is anti-LDS. I get all sorts of emails in regard to the show in that way. And if you're not in the Bible, if you're not kind of causing people to have concerns, sometimes you're not in the Bible. I love the fact that the producers of the program say it's not the Bible. But you know what I love most of all? Is when I watch The Chosen, I choose to read the Bible more. Even scenes I know by heart, because I miss things. Seeing it displayed on the screen somehow helps me. I missed the fact that the religious authorities intended to throw Jesus off a cliff after that happened.
Because you have repeatedly prophesied falsely.
He's on the edge of a cliff.
And have offered no denial or renouncement of your blasphemous claims. There is no need to escalate this to the authorities. Do you stand by all that you said?
I think I was pretty clear.
Your father, may he rest in peace, was a righteous man. Your mother is a good woman. You take no pleasure in the shame you are bringing to their name, nor the grief this will bring upon Mary. But as from the law of Moses, whose life and words you have spat upon today, your sentence is death.
They have him pushed up against the cliff, the cliff's edge. Jesus is looking at them in the eye as they approach him.
Rabbi Ben.
Rabbi Benjamin, this isn't going to happen. Not today. I understand there's extra biblical dialogue there. I know that. You do too. I'm sure you know the Bible better than I do. But so perfect is it that even as they're about to attempting to put him to death, Jesus speaks with respect. Rabbi Benjamin. He respects his title, his office. And then, as it said so often in the Bible, Jesus slips away, walks through the crowd. After all, if the Son of God's time has not come, you can't make it come. Here comes my concern. My spoiler alert in 3, 2, 1. The character of Rhema is depicted in The Chosen as the first Christian martyr. She was the intended wife of one of the apostles, Thomas, the doubter. This is the first time in watching The Chosen that I have felt, well, sad for the production. The device of having two of the characters facing marriage wasn't solely my concern until it involved Jesus. And again, spoiler alert, Jesus agreed to marry them, though Rhema's father did not want her to marry Thomas. You can make a religious defense for this. You can make a biblical defense for this. After all, Jesus came to divide. It wasn't his intent, but it was going to happen. The division was going to happen. But I don't think you can make the case that Jesus would have just instantly said, after the father of Rhema had said no, that he would just instantly agree. I would see Jesus saying, how have you shown respect for your father? How have you done this? But placing her in the position of being the first Christian martyr runs into a territory I really fear with The Chosen, and that is this. So many people watch The Chosen without reading the Bible that it would be easy enough for them to replace in their mind that the first Christian martyr was this woman. Now, that's sort of immaterial, right? It's not. Because a man responsible for writing about half the New Testament, a guy who'd been Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul, the Apostle Paul, was probably one of the people who stoned Stephen, the first true martyr for Jesus Christ. And if he didn't stone him, he may have held the cloaks of those who did. That's a maturely important portion of the Christian faith, to understand who Paul was when he was Saul. I often pick up the Bible after I watch The Chosen because I'm so inspired to read into what happened and to read again. I missed the part that they took the Lord to a cliff. How did I miss that in all my readings? Well, the human mind can be frail. We can pass over things. My bigger concern is people who watch The Chosen and, number one, don't read the Bible, so they don't understand the significance of Saul becoming Paul and the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus, that he could turn a man who had chased down Christians and murdered them, men, women, and children, and that he would accept him to go out and become his apostle, taking the good news across the continents, the unspeakable grace and forgiveness that the Lord will offer. And if people do watch that scene and see this woman killed, that they would go seek it in the Bible and not find it. And when they don't find that, there's a risk that they run afoul of saying, or that they run the risk of saying, oh, okay, so a bunch of this is made up. Here's my wish for Dallas Jenkins, who has produced The Chosen, and it is, there's no doubt that this is a labor of love for Dallas Jenkins. It shows through in the way he talks about it, the effort he puts into it. He's been super smart in terms of marketing it and making it a money-making device, although it's available for free for everybody to watch. He's now making sure that it's in the theater a good long time for people like us to go pay to watch it. We're glad to do it. We want Hollywood to see Christians will go to movies. We even buy stuff from the snack bar, stuff I don't even normally eat. But I wish for Dallas Jenkins to provide at the end of each episode, anytime they depart the Bible in material ways, like inventing the first Christian martyr, who was not the first Christian martyr, or anything that Jesus does that's religiously significant, like agreeing to marry this couple. And then, of course, this woman meeting her end. I would respectfully ask Dallas to make that part of the program, even at the end, so at least it's available. I do sense that Dallas Jenkins loves Jesus. I've never met him, but that's my sense. We'll come back on The Disciples View with the Tower of Babylon. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling, our daily reminder that I think God places supposedly wise people in positions of power so we can do a good comparison of their wisdom versus the wisdom of God. After all, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. For that, there is a mathematical fact of politics in America, and that is that the Democrat Party understands full well that they are losing the support of Black Americans, so they're replacing them. Yes, it's that old replacement theory. When spoken of by white old men like me, it's brutally racist. When practiced by Democrats, it's not discussed. Black people are beginning to pick up on this. We've seen scene after scene in cities where Black people are watching schools that have been reserved for kids in their neighborhood being turned over to buildings to store illegal immigrants. We're watching in New York City as housing that's very often given to Black families at huge discounts. Sometimes they don't pay anything. Taxpayers pick that up. Being given to illegal immigrants. And as is practiced so often by the Democrat Party, it's creating racial division because the Democrat Party cannot function in any way, shape, matter, idea, affection, or form that comports with the Bible. They can't. There is nothing the Democrat Party is willing to do that comports in any way with the Bible, up to and including not viewing people as racial objects. It is remarkable to me that there is a political party firmly aligned against everything in the Old and New Testament. All of it. That should indicate something to us. Now, the Republican Party is an entity I don't care about. I don't. I used to work there. I was in the leadership team. It's fallen, but it's not yet completely adverse to God. That's largely because of the grassroots. That is. It's largely because of the evangelical base. That the Republicans have to continue to pay some attention to God. There's godly young people working in Congress on the Republican side. There are. They're starting to hold prayer meetings. They've had several of these, couple hundred staffers praying. There are people in power. Speaker Mike Johnson is one of them who does, in fact, I think, love the Lord Jesus. He is playing the game. Perhaps it's being wise as a serpent, as gentle as a dove. But the math is this: for Democrats, they can't lose many more percentages of Black voters. President Trump's support from Black voters has gone up as high as it's ever done, as quickly as it's ever happened for a Republican. He's at 22% support from Black people. President Trump got into this game of creating sneakers. He went to a sneaker trade show, which has become a big thing, and premiered some. I don't get the sneaker thing. I am the most reluctant shoe buyer in the world. And I have a pair of boots I've had that are my favorite boots. I've had them for, I'm just thinking how old my daughter is, 25 years. They're my favorite boots. Reluctantly, I have to buy new CrossFit shoes. But man, it honestly often takes my coach saying, hey, we're not going to do box jumps in those. Those are going to kill you. Buy new shoes. President Trump characteristically had his shoes created in bright gold. And he was speaking after this shoe event and talking about why black people like him. And there's a lot of people who are criticizing the president for this.
And then I got indicted a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And a lot of people said that that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. And they actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against.
Can you get more insulting? Do you really think that people like you, because you were indicted, because there is some suggestion that's being made here that people see themselves in you?
So the fact of the matter is this, that the Democrat Party for a decade or more has told black Americans the police hate you. The police want to beat you. They're out to murder you. So this woman hosting on CNN, who happens to be a black woman, pretending to not know that? That the Democrat Party has divided black Americans from law enforcement. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. That's what Black Lives Matter Incorporated chanted in city after city. Black Lives Matter Incorporated started with the aid of Barack Hussein Obama, ignored by the Biden Justice Department. Well, Biden doesn't run anything, but by the Justice Department that runs Joe Biden. Of course there are black Americans identifying with this. Wow, they're doing show trials with this guy. There's plenty of black Americans who are in prison because they deserve to be in prison, as there are white Americans. But to pretend this isn't going to have an effect. Wow, it really just goes back to the fact that the Democrat Party and CNN, there's nothing they can do that comports with the Bible in any way, including telling the truth so often with CNN. The Democrat Party itself has no regard for truth. There's an election coming. I'm not jumping up and down excited to vote for President Trump. I'll do it in a heartbeat. I'll be praying that the Lord works through him in magnificent ways again, because the Lord has worked through Donald John Trump in magnificent ways. The ban on abortion. Well, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, that lie. And revealing what the deep state is willing to do to keep power. Praise God for that. And that it happened through Donald John Trump. One day, we'll understand. God can use any vessel. There's not a way possible for me to consider voting for anyone in the Democrat side right now, because, again, they stand adverse to the Bible. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people, like that lady on CNN, perhaps like myself, on tall towers of shaking sand. These wise people stand high up, but they don't know they're trembling, about to fall. We thank the Lord for that with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babel.
I hope as you listen to this first sound clip of three that you will spot the lie without having to think too hard. That's what the Tower of Babel is. It's three, usually three sound bites that I think indicates the fact that God says, here's your leaders, here's your human bosses, here's your human wisdom. Listen to this from the BBC, Sky News to be precise, actually, and tell me if you spot the lie immediately.
Found guilty of... A woman has been found guilty of murdering an individual in Oxford months after she filmed herself killing a cat. Scarlett Blake has been sentenced to life. The minimum term is yet to be revealed in court, but she has been sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 24 years. Some of the features that have resulted in that term are significant degree of premeditation, the judge said, substantial planning, and it was shown that you were looking for someone vulnerable, the court said. In the mitigation at the sentencing, the judge had said that she was 23 at the time of the offence, but Scarlett Blake jailed for life with a minimum term of 24 years. We'll get more detail on that very shortly.
Did you spot the lie? You did, didn't you? There's, if killing a man in cold blood isn't disturbing enough, there is the fact, this is very disturbing. If you love animals, I'm going to say something that's very, very disturbing. Just know this for about 6 seconds. Just shut your ears for 6 seconds. That person also put a cat, after he killed the cat, put it in a blender on video. Yeah, he. Yeah, it was a man. So committed are the Brits to being the lie that as they describe a sick, deeply, profoundly mentally ill, probably demonic man committing murder, they pretend, they play act that he's a woman. The same psychosis that had driven him, or that was a sign of him having been driven insane, and the media laps it up and spits it back out. This is what I mean. That even the Brit, well, not just even the Brits, the British government demands that people become the lie. Extraordinary. And yet it's not, because God warned us there would be times just like this where good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And apparently where man would be called woman, even though all of us, if you watch the video report, all of us look and go, that's a man. Many of you heard that report and said, no, women don't do that. And usually they don't. Second soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling, as we again thank God for giving us the opportunity to regard human wisdom in all its absolute splendor. This should sound familiar to you. This is CNN explaining that war for profit is a good idea.
People forget, and we've known because of this Washington Post analysis for months now, about 90% of this money going towards weapons is actually coming back into the U.S. People think it just goes to Ukraine. It's not. This is where they're getting the weapons, so it also does contribute to the industry here in the U.S.
So that's CNN telling us that this war for profit, that's a good idea because it's contributing to the U.S. economy. Does that sound the least bit familiar to you? It sounded really, really familiar to me in that I remembered, oh my goodness, just yesterday, or was it earlier this week? I think it was maybe Monday. We played this woman, Victoria Nuland, who now prefers to be called Toria Nuland. She was one of the people who helped start the coup in Ukraine that the New York Times now admits, even the New York Times admits, the CIA has been operating there for 10 years with what they say, a bunch of covert bases that they had operating in 12 secret spy bases in Ukraine. Victoria Nuland helped organize this coup. She'd worked at the State Department. She's on audio tape doing it. It was a recorded phone call. So CNN was mimicking almost the exact words of Victoria Nuland, who now prefers to be called Toria.
We have to remember that the bulk of this money is going right back into the U.S. economy to make those weapons, including good-paying jobs in some 40 states across the United States.
That's Victoria Nuland. This, again, is CNN.
People forget, and we've known because of this Washington Post analysis for months now, about 90% of this money going towards weapons is actually coming back into the U.S. People think it just goes to Ukraine. It's not. This is where they're getting the weapons, so it also does contribute to the industry here in the U.S.
It's a match. Wow. CNN ends a powerful Democrat says war for profit is good. Does anyone else remember Blood for Oil? And that those people wanted to see George W. Bush in prison for Blood for Oil? That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
A silent mouth is sweet to hear.
On a Disciple's View.
I so wish that he was joking. You hear the laughter at the end of that sound clip, and yet he wasn't. We wrap this show up usually with a personal observation from me, And it's my way of just sharing something about myself with you. You're so kind to spend all this time with us. Sometimes that takes the form of a response to an email, as it does in this case. Brad writing me from Detroit, Michigan. Dear Todd, I first heard you when you filled in for Rush Limbaugh many years ago and looked up your local show. I've been a fan, and I know you don't like that word. I don't know what else to say of your radio presentation since. I was thrilled while traveling in the South to hear you on AFR and have now started listening to that program in addition to your podcast. Here's a question. It's a pretty simple one. Do you ever sleep? How much time does it take you to do all the work that you do? I hope it's sustainable. Love what you do. God bless you, Brad. Brad, it's so interesting that you asked that question, because you can ask it of anybody who works. I have friends who are ER docs. I have friends who are cops. I have friends who are CrossFit coaches. And sometimes I have to ask them. A simple thing, like a CrossFit coach on their eighth hour of being energetic for people and watching people move and being emotional support for people. I have to say, how do you do it? So often with cops here, particularly on tough nights, I have to say, how do you do it? We all do it the same way. Part of it is because we have to. Part of it is because God tells us to. So to answer your question precisely, I sleep pretty well. Not a lot, but well. And to be more precise about how much time does it take? For every hour of radio, it's about 3 hours of prep. So it's a lot. And here's the crazy thing is God selected me to do this, but here's a little factoid about me. I would do it for free. If I didn't have a radio show, I'd be walking around like Cliff Clavin from Cheers, finding places to go speak, and I'd still be reading. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He equipped me with a burning need to stay on top of things and to do what I can for justice. I appreciate you being a supporter of the programs. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And until God gives us word that you and I can speak again together, may His peace rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.